You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for love. What blood makes noise? It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two. This is Dave Hodges, your host, along with Katie Whalen, and we want to thank Lisa Haven for joining us in the last hour. And her work is so good. We need to have her on more often. I want to remind everybody, we are sponsored by certain people that make this program possible. And one of the groups that we partner with is Scene.life, something that Lisa and I are both involved in, which is the replacement for Facebook. And I have the Common Sense Show site up there. Lisa has her site up there, Freedom Nation. And I would encourage you to go join. It's free, no background check. No one's going to ever ask you to send a copy of your driver's license. Yeah, Facebook does that to people now whose posts they don't like. So I would encourage you to go to scene.life. Also, we're brought to you by Renaissance Precious Metals. Steve Quayle, low-pressure sales, actually no-pressure sales. He simply wants to help people get prepared for what's coming and convert your soon-to-be useless cash into precious metals that you can barter with once the crisis clears, or even during the crisis. You can get a hold of Steve at 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842. And, of course, you got to make sure your family's prepared. Storable food, Numana's the way to go. No question about it. They're the best out there. There are none others that can compete with Numana with what they bring with pricing, quality of food. Go to numana.com/Hodges. And also, Dr. Ted Brewer, whose show precedes this show. Dr. Ted, good friend of the program, good friend of mine, is offering a special to Common Sense Show listeners. Yeah, that's right, just us right here. We people, we're the privileged. You go there, and a lot of you are already getting your natural health supplies from Dr. Ted, as I do. He's going to take 5% off if you use coupon code DAVE5, and that's only good for a few more days. So if you're lagging behind on your monthly supplies, tomorrow might be the day to order. Take advantage of the special with the coupon code DAVE5. Well, we jump from the frying pan into the fire. And Lisa covered, I think, some very, very critical issues ranging from the UN's interference in our education system all the way to what hell is like and everything in between. Hillary Clinton, which I think, well, okay, I won't say where she's at. That's a cheap joke, and I'll let that go. But you guys get the idea. We covered a whole gamut of issues last hour. This hour, we're going to focus on very narrow range of topics with our guest, Virginia Farver, who's from one of my least favorite places on earth, the People's Republic of Larimer County. Now, I love the people up there. I mean, I'm from Colorado. I have friends in Fort Collins. But my God, you want to talk about a model government for Agenda 21? That's your place. In fact, they threatened to throw Virginia out on the street, or actually not on the street, but they were going to cut her power off if she didn't agree to a smart meter. And this was in the middle of winter in Colorado. So that's where she's from, the People's Republic of Larimer County, where they steal children for people who dare to stand up to Agenda 21. Yes, I'm talking about Stacey Lynn. We're going to talk about cell phones, cell phone frequency, cell phone towers, and we've covered these issues before, but not on the level that we're going to cover it this evening. Virginia, welcome to the show, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's always great to have you back, except you do bring very bad news, and we have a growing audience. So can you take just a moment and tell the listening audience about your background and what got you interested in this topic?
Okay. In 2009, I lost a son in 2008 from a brain cancer cluster on the San Diego State University campus. And I did some research, and I got on antennasearch.com, and I could not, there was a cell tower on campus, and I could not find this cell tower listed on Antenna Search. So it took me 4 months, and I found out that this one cell tower on campus that could transmit 72 miles in all directions, it's called HEPRIN. It stands for High Performance Wireless Research and Educational Network, had illegal emissions. I found several articles where people had mentioned, if I were the FCC, I would bust these guys. So my son was involved in a brain cancer cluster, and I also investigated and have been involved with three other cancer clusters in the California area, and they all are were all caused by overexposures to EMR or EMF radiation.
Mm-hmm. And so born out of personal tragedy, you kind of became a crusader for the truth in this area. And we're not being told the truth about the effect of the what these products have upon us and their support facilities as well, such as the cell phone towers. And this is what we're going to really focus on tonight. And I'm saying this to the listening audience. This stuff is very disturbing. Virginia and I had about a five-minute conversation before we started the show this evening. And she gave me just a few details of where she's going. It's frightening. So, Virginia, I'm just going to kind of let you decide where you would like to begin on this.
Okay, well, I'd like to start. During my investigation on the cell tower on the San Diego State University campus, which is still there, by the way, it was connected to 70 rural fire stations. And it's also, this HEPRIN tower is also mission control for San Diego Gas and Electric. So when I was doing this research, I could not figure out what the 70 rural fire stations were about. And over the last few months, I realized that it's called FirstNet for emergency responders. So I've been researching that, and FirstNet for emergency responders is going to go nationwide, worldwide, and it's also part of the United Nations. And I found documents by the Iridium Corporation where their intentions are to cover every square inch of the United States in these emissions. And the cell towers will, their main focus, Dave, is to cover rural areas. So there won't be an inch of the United States that doesn't get hit by this stuff. So during all of this, about 2 weeks ago, the FCC has just approved 5G. So now we're going to 5G, folks. And it's becoming very scary.
Well, what's the difference between 5G and what we have now?
Well, it's just 5G, what they say, is 1,000 times faster for broadband and all this stuff for our internet services and for communications and all this stuff, and it's digital. So this is where we're going, and it's all this pulse stuff, just like the smart meters. And the smart meters are very, very dangerous as well. All of this stuff is. And about a month ago, the NTP, the National Toxicology Program, everybody needs to look this up. It was a $25 million funded study by the United States government, which they released it 19 months early. And I watched mainstream news, and they said, oh, don't worry about it. They released it early. But the reason they released it early is because they were finding profound damage with wireless radiation, and they thought it was prudent to start warning the public. So this is the stuff we need to know. And this 5G...
Let me stop you there just for a second. Mm-hmm. What kind of effects were they finding?
Well, they're just finding that it's very damaging to the body. I mean, it's, you know, I explain it, you go get an x-ray, that's ionizing radiation that damages your cells and your DNA instantly, and this stuff does it over time. So the non-ionizing radiation, well, it's cumulative, so the more of it you receive, the more damaging it becomes. But when these, when I talk about these nano pulses, like the smart meters emit, and actually the new cell phones emit this pulse stuff, I've heard if you put a cell phone in front of you and it can receive data, that data wave will hit you or hit the phone and then go through your body. So this is what's going on, Dave, and I'm expecting a lot of people to be diagnosed with cancer.
My own. That's
right.
Well, we know that the cancer clusters are increasing, and we know cancer as a whole is increasing. I would imagine you attribute some of that to what you're talking about here.
Yes. This is a big puzzle piece to all of this cancer stuff. And we've got a population, Dave, that is completely hooked on cell towers, mm-hmm. and cell phones, and you can't get away from this stuff anymore, and it's crazy. Ole Johansson from the World Health Organization, they had 229 scientists and doctors, and I think people can look this up online. It's the emfscientists.org. They are demanding that the World Health Organization change the classification for wireless radiation from a class 2B to a class 2A. So when I say a class 2A carcinogen, it's in the same category as benzene and asbestos. So yes, it's very damaging.
And this man is from the United Nations?
He works for the World Health Organization, and people don't, what is being explained to me is people don't understand that the World Health Organization is actually a voluntary group. And our governments are relying on them for their information. And Ole Johansson has been fighting the wireless industry for years, and he helped get the classification changed in 2011. And just recently, now with this NTP study that has just come out, they have demoted him. So this is what they do to people if you come out against these industries.
Interesting. So he was demoted from within.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, how long he was going to be able to get away doing or saying what he was doing. So where does this sit now? I mean, we have no regulatory body to speak on behalf of the safety of the people. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct. About 2 weeks ago when the FCC approved 5G, they were no longer taking public input. And I was telling Dave here in Fort Collins where I live, they are putting up these fake silos right at the edge of city property, right where it butts up to the county property. And we found out there's no public input for these as well either. And these 5G mini cell towers are actually going to be installed everywhere on utility poles, basically what everybody thinks is they're going to be literally everywhere, Dave. And I was contacted by a gal in Broomfield, Colorado. Oh, this is about 3 months ago, and they had Tetra people talking at the Broomfield City Council, and now Tetra is out of the UK, and they're really powerful cell towers, and this is what the FirstNet is calling it. It's either P25 or it's Tetra technology. So this is what's going to go on, and these things are going to be everywhere, Dave. And the 5G, they call it 5G small cell densification plan. So this tells you we're going to have these. I'm afraid we're going to have these on our light poles and everything else. They want to put them on utility poles, on attach them to cell towers that are already up. And I've noticed around town people are working on cell towers all the time lately. So I have a real huge fear that this is what's going on.
Is there any talk? I'm trying to think how to say this without the proper background. Well, let me give the background real quick, and then I'll lead into the question. Jose Delgado is someone who was no stranger to my intro to psychology classes. And he, there's a YouTube video with him. And when he was a Spanish physiologist in 1961 in Barcelona, he fought a bull in the bull ring. And his only weapon was a remote control device. And as the bull charged him, he pressed the transmitter. It emitted an electrical signal that caused the bull to change its temperament and calmly walk away. He was brought here to Yale, I believe, in 1964, where as a visiting professor, and he expanded his work to people who had epilepsy. He could manipulate dogs and cats in the same manner as he did the bull. He could change emotional states by changing frequencies. And then he went to work for a Stanford Research Institute in 1968, where he got out, early 2000s. He died shortly thereafter. And he was involved in mind control experiments for the CIA, who basically runs SRI. Now, here's my question. Sorry about the long background, but I think this is important. I do know we're electrochemical beings, and when you change electrical frequencies, you know, your mood can change just because the tone of a music song can change. Is there anything to indicate that this is going to be a behavior modification program as well as a communications device?
Well, that's what our fear is. And Dave, Larimer County, where I live, they have one of the highest suicide rates for teenagers right now. And I've been trying to explain this to parents. These kids are going to schools that have cell towers on top of them and Wi-Fi in the building, and they're using cell phones and laptops, and then they're going home to their smart meters and Wi-Fi and all this stuff. So, people are expecting a huge influx of cancers. And I've noticed that around Larimer County, too. You know, the economy's been so bad, but they have been building medical facilities like crazy all over town. So I'm just wondering if it's all together. And it comes down to the United Nations. They're behind all of this, Dave.
Okay, before we go to the UN, and I definitely want to expose this, and we were all over the UN in the last hour with Lisa. Excuse me, but I can't believe there's not public interest research groups. I mean, let me back up for a second. Nick Begich, I don't know if you're familiar with his work.
Yes.
And he investigated Project HARP, and he talked about, in fact, he showed the patents in his book, Angels Don't Play This Harp. And I think it's available on earthpulse.com, if I remember right. But Nick showed this, how you could change people's mood and temperament by changing the frequency bounced off the ionosphere and bringing it back as a narrow beam to a confined area or a broad spectrum beam. And I believe it was Eastman Kodak, but I'm speaking from memory now, that held the patent on this technology. I can't help but believe, Virginia, this is behavior modification, and this is maybe why so many Americans are putting up with so much crap today from their government without reacting.
Well, you know, I think they are reacting. You know, the agitation, this stuff can cause headaches, you know, sleeping problems, all kinds of things. And a lot of it, I've talked to a lot of these experts, and depression is one of the first things that people will notice from this stuff. And, of course, then it goes to where I think that they are using this, and people, the doctors don't know. So people will go to their doctors, and they get on antidepressants, and then I think they're being put on a list where they can know they cannot purchase a handgun or any kind of firearm, you know, when they become older, you know, a lot of these kids. So I think it's all combined together, Dave, to work. But, and I also call this, that cell tower on the campus is a HARP tower. And how I explain that, like I've told people before, is it's connected, Dave, this cell tower is connected to the Iris Pascal grid, the Terra grid, the Pregma grid, the High Seas Net grid, the Abilene grid.
Can you explain what a few of these are?
Well, these are just grids that all connect all these universities, and this is where that term the smart grid comes to. But a lot of them connect to Stanford University's VLF research group, which is HARP. So this is why I refer to this whole thing as a HARP grid and not a smart grid. But and I've read stuff on HARP where it said it could actually revolutionize two-way communications. So I'm thinking this HARP thing is where all this grid and these smart meters have come from.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's very dangerous. But now I kept hearing those words, the FirstNet coming up, and I kept thinking, well, what in the world is that? You know, but Dave, this is going to also be deployed on the FirstNet's going to be deployed on the grid, And so what they're going to do is they're going to use the utilities. They're in cahoots now with all the utilities. And, you know, of course, it's FirstNet, and they want to, it's for our safety and our health, right, and for emergency services, and it's not. It's all a surveillance. Just all a surveillance grid, so it's very, very dangerous. And then this 5G, they're going to actually come out with cell towers that are going to be little personalized cell towers that people can carry with them, and they can transmit up to 6 or 7 miles. So people, these, you may not even be able to see where these are at, so to protect yourself. So we're going down a really dangerous road.
Wow. Well, where are we at with this right now? I mean, you mentioned to me, but let's go here. I want to cover this before we hit the UN. You mentioned that these cell towers are coming in various disguises, and I see that too. Usually they look like evergreen trees until you look closer. But you're saying they look like silos. But you mentioned to me before we came on air tonight that you think they're going to appear every quarter mile.
In Broomfield, Colorado, during the city council meeting, they were talking about these cell towers, these macro mini cell towers being installed every quarter mile throughout Broomfield. So this is what's coming our way, and we've got to head it off at the pass. And Dave, I don't know how to do it because our cities are taking grant funds from the federal government, and they're hooked on these things. I call it the federal heroin, but this is how they're deploying all this stuff, and it's harmful.
What could we look at in Broomfield if we wanted to go investigate this? Is this a city council action? Is this, as you say, is the result of a grant initiative? Are people being bought off? I mean, why would a city council knowingly bring in something that's going to cause such devastation?
Well, it's just like the smart grid, and this is where people can't... I'm involved in several groups that are fighting the smart grid, and just for instance, smart meters are not UL certified, and folks, there have been thousands of home and business fires, and your local newspapers will tell you that these are accidental and they're no longer under investigation. So, and actually I got an email tonight from a gentleman out of Texas that they know something's up, that there's just a huge cover up with all this stuff. So, this is what's going on, but I think there's a lot of money being passed around throughout our cities and towns and counties.
Well, what's going on in your town of Fort Collins with regard to this?
Well, they pretty much have ignored everybody. And a few years ago I went out and I passed out all kinds of flyers. I actually had a girl out of California made this beautiful flyer out for me, and I printed tons of them, and I went out and I talked to people, and some people took my name and my phone number, and within 2 days I had a couple people call me and say, don't ever come near me again or come to my house. I called the city and they told me there's nothing wrong with these smart meters. They're not dangerous at all. They only transmit less than a cell phone every day. And Dave, this is not true. These things are really, really dangerous because the nanopulses. And I'm also in the movie Take Back Your Power. And people, you can access this by getting on takebackyourpower.net. And this film goes, it tells you about the dangers of everything, and it tells you, it goes into the fires, the cost, the privacy problems that are with this smart grid. And then also author Katie Singer wrote a book for me called AN, electronicsilentspring.com, if you guys want to look that up. And Frank Clegg, the former head of Microsoft Canada, endorsed the book. So we're thrilled with that. And Katie talks about all this stuff in the book and what it does to your body. She tries to explain that. And I was also talking to a medical researcher or a medical writer about 3 months ago, and I have been told now through the World Health Organization, cancer clusters will no longer be announced.
So this was announcing this?
The World Health Organization will no longer announce cancer clusters.
You know where else we've seen this, Virginia, this kind of behavior? After Fukushima, and we knew that the radiation had time to reach our coastlines. First of all, the government, the first thing they did was raise the amount of radiation that we could supposedly tolerate by about 1,000%. And then they said they stopped measuring. And this is the behavior we're seeing here. So if we get an answer that we don't want, well, we're just not going to look anymore. You know, hear no evil, see no evil.
Dave, these smart meters, I want everybody to know, they do what's called data dumping during the night. So this is why people are having problems sleeping, is because they actually turn these things up at night. And these smart meters are only turned up to like 1 to 3% of their power capacity. These can actually be turned up to lethal levels. And I've heard that a lot of these huge cell towers now have actually been weaponized. So my mind goes to the worst scenario possible. And Dave, I really think that it could be. What a perfect thing. You can't see it, you can't smell it, and you can't taste it. So this is what's happening. And then we've got a population that's completely hooked on wireless radiation devices.
That's true. That is absolutely true. We where I'm torn on this, Virginia, is this. Is this going to be a behavior modification device primarily that happens to have collateral damage through cancer clusters? Or is this a deliberate depopulation move on the part of the elite?
I've talked to a lot of people about this, and some of these experts, and there was a gentleman I talked to in California that has been working on this for years, and he said he knows that this was actually a depopulation scenario. So that's what, you know, he knows that. And also, I'm afraid, you know, and what I think about, Dave, is the fact that we're going to be so engulfed in this stuff that we're going to be so sick that we can't even fight, you know, because this stuff will just drains you. And people just aren't quite understanding what's going on with their bodies.
Based on what you just told us, I think I asked a bad question. I think it's not a matter of either or. It's a matter of and.
Right.
It's kind of like the euthanasia prior to the final death.
Yeah.
Wow, this is incredible. Do you think, well, let me ask you this. Have you found any research that links this technology to things like early onset Alzheimer's that's growing at an exponential rate?
Yes. Alzheimer's, autism. I've actually, these experts have told me these girls that get pregnant, the boys, if you have you need to have a cell phone out of your pocket and away from your body for at least 3 months for your sperm to regenerate. And this is what they're afraid of. They're afraid of there's going to be, because these boys have put their cell phones in their pockets for so long, and girls will put, you know, cell phones, you know, in their pockets of their coats and whatnot and carry them around, that there's going to be a lot of kids that are genetically damaged in the next few generations. So, yes, it's going to be a big problem, Dave. And I've told you before, I don't have a cell phone, so I really, really see the addiction. And I just can't even comprehend it, and I can't even understand it either. So, you know, it's just crazy for me to watch it.
Well, I guess we come down to what's being done about this.
We've got a lot of good people fighting, but we're fighting the United Nations, we're fighting the U.S. government, and, you know, and we're fighting a population that is addicted. So this is the problem, Dave. And, you know, I feel like we're just spinning our wheels so many times. I was on the internet a couple of weeks ago contacting everybody I could, and every senator, and even here in Colorado, all over the United States, to please don't approve this 5G. But, you know, I think these things have been in the works for a long time. And I've told people to look up that 2000 Millennium Development Goals, and this FirstNet is under the Disaster Risk Reduction and Recovery. So, you know, they've been working on this stuff since 2000, and it's just gotten incrementally worse.
Well, let's talk about the watchdog. Well, let's go to the United Nations. I've held you off on that long enough. You say this is United Nations. I hate to use the word plot, but that's how I see it. So let's go there. How do you know the United Nations are involved? What's their role, and what do you think their objective is?
I think it's a one-world government, just like everybody's talking about, and I think it's just to get every U.S. citizen under control of the United Nations and to get rid of the Constitution, and they're going to bring us down to third-world country poverty level. That's what I think that's what this is all about. And the ITU, the International Technology Union, they have the ITU, D for development, T for technology, R for radio. So even that cell tower on the SDSU campus is hooked to the PBO network, which is the Plate Boundary Observatory Network, which is UNAVCO and UNESCO, so that's the United Nations. So I can actually narrow it down to that. But I've done a lot of research on this stuff, and we have something called USAID, USAID, and it's an aid corporation that's been formed through the United States, and they work with the USEA, which is the United States Energy Association, which works for the WEC, which is the World Energy Council, and the WEC again, which is the World Energy Congress. So here we go. This is all the United Nations pushing all this stuff. And they've been involved in a lot of groups.
Well, you mentioned UNESCO. That actually came up in a discussion I was having with our last guest, Lisa Haven. UNESCO, in part, is in charge of UN-related education initiatives. Why would UNESCO, in your opinion, be involved in this technology?
Because I think, you know, Dave, they're in control of this grid, and so they're with all the grants, and I don't know if you ever read the book Brotherhood of Darkness by Dr. Stan, but that book is fabulous. It connects the dots and how the grants are going to be what brings this country down, not only financially, but, you know, this stuff is just like cancer itself. The tentacles go everywhere. And I even looked up the Colorado Smart Grid Task Force, and there, I can't remember, there's 11 or 12 members that are on this task force, and one of them worked for the United Nations. So this stuff is in so many of our government departments, local and federal.
Excuse me. When you say the United Nations involvement, though, their goal, are they being run, do you think, by the elite? Is that how you view them? And this is definitely a depopulation agenda.
Yes, yes. Bill and Melinda Gates actually talk to the ITU, Google, all of them. And yes, it's all the elites that are behind all this. I think that they've actually hidden behind this umbrella to push this Millennium Development Charter since 2000, and you know, it's gotten our government away from protecting the people. That's what they've done. So yes, and I think it's a depopulation program as well.
So
not very warm and fuzzy.
Well, I was going to ask you. It seems to me that all these quotes that we read about 90% depopulation from people like Ted Turner to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, they must be true.
Yes, I believe they're true. And a lot of people that I am in contact with, we all think the same thing. And I think they're going to have their way, Dave, if things don't start turning around and turning around quickly. I mean, when you can't even have public input with the FCC or your local city councils or commissioners meetings. I mean, there's a problem. So this is, we're losing our rights left and right, and not only that, we're going to start losing our health as well.
Well, when you say that no public input is allowed, that's illegal under open meetings laws that govern virtually all 50 states.
Correct.
You have to have time for public comment. This has to be done out in the open. And I'm not saying games don't get played. Of course they do. But for them to blatantly just ignore the public comment, to me, sets them up for a regulatory lawsuit.
Well, Dave, let me tell you something. I had another gentleman and I were on a conference call with the city of Fort Collins last year. We had the assistant city manager on the phone with us. And I said, I wanted to know who within the city decided to take off all of our analog meters and put on a smart meter on our home. And I said, I wanted to know what resolution, ordinance, or motion will state this. And literally, he says, we don't have that information for you. And I actually got that in writing from him. So this is what's going on. They don't want you to know. The reason they don't want you to know about these smart meters is because they knew if the public knew what this was all about, that probably 99% of the public would say absolutely no way. And per the 2005 Energy Policy Act, smart meters are upon customer request. So that's what people need to understand. And so I don't...
Well, that's a lie.
We're not sure what's going on.
Well, that's a lie. They're not on customer request. I mean, you're living proof of that. I remember when you came on my show and you said in a couple of months, if I don't submit, they threaten to turn off my power in the middle of the winter.
Right.
That's not consent.
Right. Well, I sent them in letters saying I absolutely do not consent, and I listed why, with the radiation, the privacy issues, the lack of UL certification. I listed all that. So this is what they're doing to people if you go up against them. And most people, Dave, I try to tell a lot of my neighbors, and they just think, oh, well, you know, and this is the attitude that the American people have right now. It's they're just going to sit back and put their head in the sand. And while they do that, and I want people to understand, too, in your cities, on your major intersections, these also include all the surveillance cameras that will be watching everywhere you go and everything you do. So by the time we're done with FirstNet and the smart grid and all this stuff, Dave, we're going to have absolutely no privacy whatsoever. And I was going to also say, in December of 2013, now this was before I started getting letters that they were going to shut my power off. In our local newspaper, there was a story called "An Open," or it said "A Look Behind Closed Door Meetings at the City," and in it, they stated that there were a few people within the city that were they dubbed as problem utility customers, and they said if we kept this up, Dave, they said if we kept this up, I've got the article. It says if they keep this up, they will no longer be allowed in city facilities or buildings.
That's illegal too.
Right.
That's
so
illegal
is,
too.
This is what they will do
Amendment.
To you.
Yeah, First Amendment.
Right.
That's illegal. So. To me, where's the ACLU? Have you approached them about representing the citizens on these kind of blatant violations of the Constitution?
Well, I'm working on some stuff behind the scenes, and hopefully if it works, I'll let you know how it goes. But, you know, I tried to contact the ACLU, you know, with SDSU, but these cell towers, Dave, they have governmental immunity on these campuses. So that means... You cannot
Let's talk
sue
about
them.
That. What does that mean? What do you mean governmental immunity?
That means that the government can do whatever they want to, and they're immune from any kind of legal action. So that means I, you know, me as a mother, I had no idea that this. My son was 25 when he took off to go to San Diego. So, you know, I didn't need to go there and walk around campus. And had I known, you know. I surely would have never allowed him to go on that campus. But, you know, and to me, this is where I think I had the right and my son had the right to know what my son was being exposed to on that campus. And I actually found the user guide for heparin, And it said that the people that used it had to specify if they were doing just wave experiments or pulsed experiments and all kinds of stuff. And I have a feeling, Dave, that the cell tower was, I know it was really, really bad.
Do you, I'm sure you're, well, maybe you're not. So, voice-to-skull technology. Nick Begich popularized the term. Are you familiar with it?
Yes.
Let me explain it very quickly to the listening audience, because I think there's another application here. When I said behavior modification, Nick Begich, and I think the year was 1997, but he took this technology, voice-to-skull technology, to the European Parliament, and he played for them sounds within their head, voices within their head. He implanted that with a device they called voice-to-skull technology. Well, the European Union members were so shocked they passed a resolution against its use. Although it's so covert, it's kind of like subliminal messaging. You know people are doing it. So I think the action was more legally symbolic than anything else. But Virginia, when we break this down, I'm wondering here if we're not looking at the cell phone towers and the modulating frequencies in these towers on campuses like San Diego State, if they're not going to modulate frequency to make people do things based on voices in their head, and could this explain some of the random violence we've seen on college campuses involving mass shootings?
Oh, we know it is. We know that even police officers are prone to all this stuff, you know, because they're working down in the inner cities and stuff. So, yeah, it can cause agitation and just it cause you to be angry. I mean, they can actually do this to you. And I've always wondered that, you know, all of the government nitrate agencies are on that cell tower. So it's spelled NITRD, and it's pretty much every government agency within the United States is on it, including DARPA. So, you know, I've talked to lawyers, and they have told me that since DARPA is on that cell tower, they said, I will never know what they did to my son on that campus. And so I did have a medical writer in, this was in 2010, Dave, when I start figuring out this tower. This gal went over onto the campus. She lived in the area. She went over on the campus, and she was going to talk to the kids about the dangers of cell phones, and she went into a class and started telling them, and she said every time she's ever done this, the boys will grab the cell phones out of their pockets and slam them on their table or their desk, and she said it was nothing. They did nothing. She said, I have never seen, she said these kids were completely blank. And then she said that she started talking about cell towers, and professor that my son actually worked for started with letting her talk about it, and somebody that neither of them knew walked into the room and stopped them from talking. So I have no doubt about it that that's what was going on. And, you know, I contacted SDSU several times, and I said, I want everything there is on the cell tower. They sent me pictures of the tower itself and the metal housing unit that, you know, stacks up. And I said, no, I said, I want to know who's on it, the signal direction, how powerful it is, and I listed all these things, and it went silent, so I never heard another word after that.
Well, there's federal involvement. Now, how high up the food chain does this go when we look at this array of communication networks on these college campuses like San Diego State? I mean, Virginia, let me tell you why I'm asking. I want to frame the question properly. I have a son that'll be going off to college in 3 years, and that's unless we're involved in a civil war or some such thing, but that's the plan. And a lot of people out here are sending their kids off to college, you know, this fall. And they don't want to end up in a tragic situation like what you and your husband had to go through. And we have this array of communication networks, and I'm wondering, who in the hell is responsible? Who is the highest, what's the highest level on this food chain?
Dave, I've thought the same thing. And, you know, they've got so many things going on. That cell tower is actually connected to the NASA Mobilis 4 station. It's a laser station where they can shoot. It's a weapons station. And so, you know, who knows? You know, NASA's involved. Every governmental department, I mean, even the National Institutes of Health are on this grid. I mean, so how do you get something like this stopped? I don't know. And I'm telling parents need to pay attention about, I don't care how old your son or daughter is, you need to go physically onto these campuses and you need to arm yourself with a good meter. And you need to go over there and take readings. I have actually gone over here to Colorado State University. They've got cell towers on top of the fraternity buildings and the dorms, and they've got, I've taken my meter over there, and I, honestly, Dave, I wouldn't have a child on one of those campuses. So I don't know how to answer that for people. Just be very, very careful and just have your kids very aware of their surroundings.
This is just frightening.
But it is.
Let me try to help you narrow down the answer to my question, though. You mentioned NASA. NASA's really not a regulatory agency. They operate under other people's control, most of the time.
Right.
Okay, so what other agencies did you find involved?
Oh, my goodness. There's, without having it in front of me, the NSA... All the departments of energy are on it. DARPA, they've got National Institutes of Health. They're just about every government agency you can ever imagine is on that.
What about DHS?
DHS is on it, yes. And you name it. If you just want to name them, I'll tell you yes or no. But pretty much if it's a federal agency, it's on that. And I'll tell you, that's... And it's just very frightening to me because this is where they're getting away with putting these cell towers. And this is why, like CSU right now, Colorado State University, they now advertise on the television that they're a global campus. The reason they can do that now, folks, is because this grid is global now. I mean, that cell tower is even connected to the high seas net, which is on ships. And it's on buoys, and, you know, it just goes across the ocean. And, Dave, I mean, if you saw some of the grids that I've seen along the coastline of California, I'm surprised there's anybody even alive in that state, to be quite honest with you, because there's so many different grids. And of course, they're all hooked to several of these campuses. So we're going to have to somehow dismantle this stuff, and I don't know how to even begin to do that.
Yeah. Here's something I struggle with, too, from a logical point of view. On one hand, I understand the business part of it. They want no dead zones, so their products are used optimally 100% of the time with, you know, no downtime. I get that from a business perspective. I'm not saying I'm ignoring the moral issues here, but I understand that. But if you kill off your customers, where's your profit? It seems to me like they're... Their goals are not compatible with each other.
We just had this same conversation the other night, and that's where I can't understand it either. Unless these people are so, the elites are so above and beyond all this that they could care less if people even below them were gone, and so that would leave pretty much nobody here except for the elites, and they would have everything at that point. But I couldn't imagine what a boring existence that would be. But if that's what they think they're going to do, I can't imagine that. But they're just stifling every kind of research that would be good research. You know, they're pushing. I read in our local newspaper this morning. They're pushing electric cars, folks. These electric cars, the batteries. I just got a document last week. The batteries emit really high levels of radiation into the car, and I've heard that you should never put your kids in the back seat of a car where these batteries are being held. And you have to call a hazmat team, and the charging units that go in your garage. Those have been burning houses down as well. So this technology is not reliable and it's not safe. None of this green or clean energy is. And the windmills are making people sick on property. So they also emit radiation as well, and they're killing eagles and everything else. So, Dave, I don't know. I think it's all the United Nations, and I really, truly believe that it's a depopulation agenda.
Yeah, you know, maybe the answer to that question is it's both goals. Maybe they're going to profit on our demise, but the demise is the ultimate goal. I mean, that could be it. You know, you mentioned windmills. Excuse me. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but my son and I made a bunch of standing jokes as we drove to Colorado this summer, you know, for our annual golf vacation. And we were traveling, it was south of Pueblo, and I don't remember how far south, but there were three or four windmills, and that was it. Usually when you see windmills as a power source, there's a whole array of them. And these windmills were just so, and spread out, it was like we were joking about how could they power anything. It's along I-25 south of Pueblo, significantly south of Pueblo. Do you have any idea what that was?
I have no idea. Now, the ones that are here in northern Colorado, they've got, we counted 50 of them in one area between Fort Collins and Cheyenne. And, you know, these things each cost, I think, $1 million a piece, and they constantly break down, so they're not reliable. And then we actually had to laugh because we went by the coal power plant outside of Fort Collins, and this is the middle of winter, and there was no bellowing smoke. There was nothing. It looked as clean as could be. It was running just as clean as ever. And here they had these windmills out everywhere, and, you know, they're just an eyesore. They're killing, I've heard they kill up to 6,000 to 8,000 eagles a year. So, you know, none of this stuff is safe, Dave. And I'm not sure what's going on. You know, some communities aren't, you know, if it's a smaller community, they don't have the funds coming in to stop some of this stuff, or they've got people that are willing to put their neck out to get it stopped. So I did travel to Fountain, Colorado when the movie Take Back Your Power came out. It was just being released, and we had enough of two groups on Saturday and Sunday of a weekend, and we had enough people just in those two groups that were so furious after seeing the film that they got enough people together and they recalled every one of their city council members.
Really? Down in Fountain?
Yes.
Which is just south of Colorado Springs. Yeah.
Yes.
That's amazing. So they got rid of that's well,
yes.
Why couldn't they have an airing in Fort Collins and get rid of the Lisa Pawpaws?
Well, you know, Fort Collins is just quite a bit bigger, but you know, and what I found out is Fort Collins, Fountain, Colorado is the sister city to Fort Collins on the grid. So I made some big enemies, and Fort Collins is a top 10 smart grid city, and we've got a lot of stuff going on. And people also, you need to know about these data centers that I personally don't want them having my data, but these data centers have to run 24/7, 365 days a year. Dave, they use, and they have to be air conditioned, and it's just incredible. They will use as much energy as a small city. So, Katie also has that in her book as well too. So, and they're going to make us pay for it, Dave. I mean, our electric rates are going to go through the roof, and this is what I'm afraid of. So we're going to be paying to kill ourselves, basically.
I remember when Obama came in and cap and trade was all the rage and so forth, and I remember there was a YouTube video, and I think it's still out there, and he said, under my cap and trade plan, utility rates will necessarily skyrocket. So the president has already told us this is exactly what's going to happen.
Right. Well, the film Take Back Your Power, it starts with that exact, with Obama saying that, a video of him saying that exact thing. And folks, these electric rates, I am not kidding you, Dave. There was a gal in Kansas, I think it was this beginning of this summer, she said she was getting electric bills that were as high as her mortgage and they were going to have to sell their house. And I just got one the other day. There's a gentleman that had a little tiny apartment somewhere in Arizona that was paying $57 a month for his electric, and now it's almost $300 a month. So this is coming our way. And I know in Fort Collins that over the last couple months, they're dipping into our general fund now to start pay for some of these green energy things. So I'm afraid we're in financial trouble over this stuff too, which they will pass on to us. So, and, you know, I don't want them knowing everything I'm doing. And it's a violation of the Constitution in every form. And they're going to make us sick and everything else. So, we just need more people to fight against it.
Well, I think you need to try to get a showing of that movie up in Fort Collins.
I did. I had a showing. I've had a showing here in Fort Collins, and immediately after that is when the city was really hounding me. That's when that article came out in the Coloradoan, and that's also when they started sending me letters that they would shut my power off. I think it had them a little worried. I do know I had it shown in a theater here in town, and I had it advertised in the local paper, so I do know that they knew about it. And boy, Dave, I'll tell you what, after that film was shown, these guys got, because this film, I mean, it has won numerous awards all over the world, but this, a lot of these guys got up and just jetted out of the theater. So I have a feeling they were working for the utilities or working for some of the industry here in town that was behind it. So, I think it had them a little worried that people were going to see the film.
This is amazing. What would you recommend people do if they want to follow what's going on with this particular development?
Well, I just tell them if you get on takebackyourpower.net or electronicsilentspring.com or stopsmartmeters.org. These are all really, really good websites, and they will keep the most up-to-date stuff. Dave, I sent you that video last week with Josh right. Del Sol, and they were talking about the 5G. Now, he's the one who produced Take Back Your Power, and this video is just wonderful. And they've actually said they had an attorney they interviewed on there, and they said these people that are the heads of these utilities need to be in jail. And I agree with them, Dave. They know, and I've gone down to city council enough and told them how dangerous these meters were. They have no excuse. So, you know, something needs to happen, and it needs to happen fast.
Well, we're going to hit people with a 1-2 punch because Pat Wood is coming on the show on the 28th of August, and he's going to talk about the technocracy end of things.
Right.
And so we're...
I actually have his book. It's excellent.
Uh-huh. It is excellent. Yeah, absolutely. It is excellent. Well, Virginia, we're out of time, and I want to thank you for joining us. This has been a very informative, if not very disturbing, update. And I suppose people can look for these towers to go in every quarter mile in their neighborhood. This is unbelievable.
Yep.
Anyway, Virginia, thanks for joining us. We'll have you back again soon if circumstances warrant.
You bet. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, Virginia Farver, ladies and gentlemen, from, and I say this lovingly towards her, the People's Republic of Larimer County. Well, we're going to come back after the break. We're going to find out what's ailing you and what you can do about it. And we have, that means we have Katie's health report. So stay tuned. We'll be back in hour number 3, and then we'll have some news updates to close out the show.